this time you're all alone, but it's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do some giving. Love is all around, no need to waste it. You can have it down, why don't you take it? You might just make it after all. You might just make it after all.
And of course, we play that song, the legendary theme song of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, because as most of you know, Mary Tyler Moore, Emmy Award-winning actress, regarded as one of the greatest actresses in the history of television, sadly passed away yesterday at the age of 80 years old, surrounded by her friends and family and those closest to her in a hospital in Connecticut. The Mary Tyler Moore Show was on for 7 years in the 1970s. The last episode is a television classic regarded by TV Guide as the greatest last episode in the history of television. And TV Guide a few years ago did a ranking of the 100 greatest episodes of television, period. And number one was an episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show entitled Chuckles Bites the Dust, in which the clown at the WJM studios, in which Mary worked for, Mary Richards, gets killed by an elephant. The episode is so funny. Mary goes to the funeral, scowls at people, and loses it at the end, breaks down with laughter. One of the great, you can't even explain it. You have to watch it. Chuckles Bites the Dust. Mary Tyler Moore, gone yesterday at the age of 80. This hour, we are going to pay tribute to Mary by visiting with one of my favorite people. She's an Emmy Award-winning actress. She has worked with so many of the greats, Danny Thomas, Jimmy Durante, and, of course, Mary Tyler Moore. A great episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show from 1971. The episode is just entitled two letters, Hi. Mary goes into the hospital. She has a cantankerous roommate in the hospital. That cantankerous roommate is Emmy Award-winning actress, maybe best known as the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid to many generations, Pat Carroll. Let's go back to 1971 before we bring Pat in here and listen to that first exchange when Pat meets Mary in the hospital. Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, swell. They didn't tell me I'd be rooming with a go-go dancer. Am I in time for the supper show, or have you gone on already?
You mean this nightgown thing? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really mine.
Yeah, well, this isn't mine either. I borrowed it from Princess Grace.
I was just wondering which bed you'd like. Either one is fine with me.
You know, if there is anything I love, it is long debates concerning bed assignments when I'm standing here on crutches.
Right, yes, right. Well, I'll take this bed. Unless you'd rather have
what
it.
What difference does it make?
You're right,
right,
yes.
Right, yeah.
I'm Mary Richards.
Wonderful.
Can I help you?
I can do it myself.
You know, I was a little nervous when I came in and I saw the empty bed. I mean, boy, I can sure use company in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
I understand that you were in another room.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? Pretty much like this one, I guess, wasn't it? So how come you changed rooms?
Because of my roommate.
Your roommate?
Yeah, she kept wanting to talk.
Hello. Want a TV?
Oh, isn't that nice? Yes, thank you. I'd like one.
Oh, good. I got TV for nothing.
Isn't that nice? I didn't know they did that.
They don't. I mean, you didn't think you got it for free, did you?
Oh, no, no, no. No, I knew that. Well, let's see, I wonder how much it could be. Brand new TV only costs, what, $200. I would say charge you, what, a dollar a day?
$7.50.
$7.50. Oh, sir, I'm only going to be in here for a few days, so I won't be.
Oh, that's swell. Oh, you are just beautiful. Here you got me all hyped up for TV, and then you don't want to...
On the other hand, what can it cost? I'll only be in here for a couple of days.
Good.
Okay, this is your remote control. Don't you know how to work it?
Remote control.
Oh, sir, could you tilt that just a little bit this way? Move it over. Just a little bit. That's just perfect.
300 points. Who is the Prime Minister of Canada?
One very funny scene from one very funny lady, the legendary Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. How are you? God bless Mary.
Oh.
May she rest in heavenly joy.
Absolutely. Pat.
That lady, you know the only hate mail I ever got in my entire life in this profession was from being mean to her on her own show.
Is that right?
I got hate mail. Do you believe it? That's how much her audiences loved her. And they were rightful in their adoration of that lady. She was a thoroughgoing professional. She was marvelous to work with because she was also a giving performer. She was just there. She was there. She deserved her acclaim. She deserved her fandom because she earned it just by doing what she did. We're going to miss her.
Mm. You know, Pat, there are a few actresses in television history that everybody just knows the name, and Mary Tyler Moore is one of those.
That's right. That's right. And her following was intense. I know that from the hate mail I got. How dare you be mean to our Mary? She was always our Mary. She belonged to her fans. They adored her.
From Laura Petrie through Mary Richards, it's very rare to have two series of that great success, especially at that time in television.
That's right.
What do you think it was about her that just allowed that? People gravitated to her.
I think it was Mary herself. It was not the character she played. It was Mary. There was a receptivity about her. You knew she wouldn't do you wrong as a fan, that she'd always have you in mind. There was a protectiveness about Mary's fans, too. They didn't want anybody hurting her, hence my hate mail for being mean to her on her own series. There was that eternal ingenue quality without achingness. She was a straightforward American gal, and she played it to the hilt without playing it. She just relaxed and was, and consequently, we all thought she was fantastic, and she was. R.I.P.
Mm. When you heard that clip, Pat, boy, it's hard to believe, but that has been getting pretty close to 50 years ago.
That's right.
That's amazing. What did you think about when you heard that? You had such a funny character there.
When I heard what?
When you heard that clip, what did you think, going back in time?
Well, I thought it was funny.
It was.
It was funny, and particularly because Mary was so adored. How dare anyone be mean to her?
You know, when I think back to that series, as I said when I opened the show, it's rated as the greatest episode of all time. It is considered one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. What was it about that show? Dick Van Dyke was great, but people love the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Because the concentration was on Mary. And the difference was she split the attention with Dick, and they were both wonderful together. You can't take that away. But with her own show, she had the spotlight totally on her, and she deserved it. She could do no wrong with her fans. She could absolutely do no wrong. She was a thoroughgoing professional, so I admired her inordinately, as did most of her fellow performers. And there was a generosity in her spirit, in who and what she was. She shared herself with audiences, and I think they knew it. They're very perspicacious audiences. They know a lot we don't think they know. And they teach us all the time. But Mary was very good to her fans. She was very true to her character. She never let people down, either as her character or as Mary. She was just what we all want our stars to be.
Absolutely. Pat, she was so beloved in these roles as Laura Petrie and Mary Richards. And then, in 1980, we see this movie, Ordinary People.
Yep.
And she
Didn't she shock everybody?
And, you know, people still loved her and said, wow, what a great actress.
They discovered she was also a marvelous actress.
Mm. When you saw her in Ordinary People, after all she had done was comedy, what did you think?
I thought, good for you, Mary. Show the people. You're not just one-sided. That's what being a good actress is about, I think, Scott, is that you can wear a number of masks and people buy you in all of them. And I think they certainly did with Mary, because when she kind of took a vacation from television and did a film, all of those characters were not Mary Richards. She left her own safe bailiwick and took a chance as an actress, and she won. That's because she was gutsy and she tried. But she was also a thoroughgoing professional in everything she did. I think to be admired by those of us in the profession for that reason alone, if nothing else. Her fans adored her because of the person that came out beyond the character. That was a gal they wanted to know. They wanted as a neighbor so they could sit over the back fence and gossip. They could talk about the things of the day because she seemed to be that kind of person.
You know what was interesting, Pat? When you go back, anybody, I implore them to do this, and watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Mary herself in the series doesn't have jokes or really funny lines, as you would call them. It's the people around her. She's reacting to them.
That's right. That's right.
And yet it's her show. What kind of an actress to because usually the people want the funny lines. They want the laughter. What security does it take with a show with your name on it to give everybody else the funny lines?
I think it takes the knowledge that Mary had that people were buying her. They weren't buying the characters. They didn't give a fig about the characters, really. It was the opportunity to see Mary at work. And she gave her audiences a sense of security in that they knew nothing bad would ever happen, that it was all going to be good, but you were going to have some giggles along the way. And not all of the giggles came from Mary. And I think she was a very wise actress to make sure that that occurred because she didn't have the burden of telling jokes or funny lines. It was her reaction to all the cuckoo birds around her that made us empathic to her very dear character and made us like Mary as a person.
When we go back to 1971, in that episode you were in, as I have said, Mary Tyler Moore is regarded as one of the greatest comedies in television history. You were there, I imagine, for about a week to shoot that as a guest star.
That's right.
But you have been in series television. You have guested on a lot of great series. What was different about that one when you were there just on the set and the cast, the writing? What was different? What made it a classic?
Oh, golly, that's talking about a long time ago. The one thing that I remember was Mary. Mary was omnipresent. Everybody wanted that Mary should be happy because if she were happy, then the series would be happy. And they made sure of that. And I don't mean pandering to her like Miss Star Lady. I mean the writers made her feel safe with their scripts. And if there was something she didn't like, they changed it because they knew her taste was impeccable. She created a lovely sense on the set of that character she was playing wasn't too far off the base. It was a happy set to work on. There were no flights of fancy. There were no upsets. There were no arguments because everybody knew that Mary wouldn't accept that. She wanted a place to work that was not peaceful, but creative, but not negative. She was a very positive person. If she had insecurities, she kept them to herself, which is where I think we all should. And I just, Mary's sets were always very pleasant because she was very pleasant. And I think it's very difficult to be a star, particularly a female star, in the television of that time. I think it's always difficult. And the women who carry it off well are to be applauded because it's not an easy job to be a star in whether it be the theater or films or television or whatever. It's not the big plum joy that everybody thinks it is. It's tough. There are tough pressures on the people who are starring in all of these things in films, television, and the theater. There are tremendous pressures, which we, as the audience members, do not even think about. It doesn't cross our ken that these people have a lot of pressure on them, and they do. And that goal pressure is called success. And nobody, once you have it, wants to lose it, because that's just a thought too negative and frightening. But Mary carried everything off with great aplomb because she was laid back. She was not a prover. She just a was-er. She was there. And she fulfilled everything that everybody wanted. Some of it she didn't even know she was fulfilling, but it was just by being herself. I think she was the prime example of a young woman in television who achieved stardom not because of what she did, but who she was. Because it was the person, Mary, that everybody was in love with. Not the star. It was herself, that person, that charming young woman, that very attractive young woman, whose giggle just made you follow her in joy. Because when she laughed, when she giggled, when she was tickled, you were tickled that Mary was having such a good time. She was, I can't think of a female star in television who had such a loyal following as did Mary, because there was something in her personality that demanded that you like her. She was just doggone likable. And you'd think, oh, golly, would she like to go out and have a Coke or something this afternoon at the drugstore? You just wanted to sit and gossip with her.
You know, Pat.
You know, but she was wonderful to work with. I think her sets were happy. I think she reflected a great deal of who she was into that character. And it paid off.
It certainly did with one of the greatest...
Oh, indeed it did.
And, you know, one of the things I noticed this morning, I was watching some of the morning shows, and they talked about how this was really the first show going back to 1970 on television, certainly a comedy, where the woman was not married, where she wasn't living with her parents, she wasn't a spinster. And Pat, I want you to think about this question, because I want to play this clip from that episode with you and Mary from 71, because the premise of that episode, as we have said here early on, was you were the cantankerous roommate in the hospital. But there was another part as that episode drew to a close that really showed the writing in that show for the time.
But good writing.
And here's that little clip, but we're going to come back and talk about Mary really being a pioneer for women on television. So many young girls looked up to Mary, but here's the clip from 1971 at the end of that episode with Pat Carroll.
Mrs. Kuhn. Goodbye. Mrs. Kuhn, I'm back because even though we didn't really get to know each other, still in all,
Look, I know what you're trying to say, and I'll take two boxes of your cookies.
Okay, Mrs. Kuhn, I give up. You win. Terrific. Wonderful. I wanted to be friends, and you didn't want to, and so you won. The only thing I don't understand, Mrs. Kuhn, is, what did you win?
Nothing. Look, I've kind of been out of it, you know, I mean, between the bird thing and the leg and my ulcer, it all kind of got to me, and I got kind of, well, you know, well, Mary, you may not know this, and it may hit you 10 minutes from now, but I'm apologizing.
No, hey, it hit me right away. Listen, goodbye and good luck.
Yeah.
All the best.
Right.
A happy ending from two of the greatest actresses in television history, Mary Tyler Moore and Pat Carroll. And couldn't we use those today, Pat?
Oh, indeed. Couldn't we just? But, you know, Mary, in all of her work in television, including work with Dick, always exuded a kind of honesty. And that's what we want from our actors and actresses, is honesty. Because it makes more easy the believability of their characters. And Mary was marvelous at that. We believed her. We believed in that character. Now, that's not easy, because you're selling a great deal of yourself in that character. And it's tough to isolate those things in you that might be likable for audiences. That's not an easy task, because we're not part of that audience. We're trying to work on that audience to buy us, to accept us as the character we are playing. You know, so it's not an easy game at all. At all. But Mary was past mistress at it. You never saw the wheels working with that lady. She just was who she was.
And what we were talking about before we went to that clip, and again, I saw this on one of the morning shows this morning, there were backhanded remarks in that series. And remember, this is 1970 audience out there, that Mary kind of alluded that men stayed the night, that she took birth control. This didn't happen in 1970s television.
Nope, not talked about.
But she was able, in a backhanded way, to do it, and that took guts.
Yes, it did, and courage, beyond guts. Guts can just sometimes be pushiness, but courage is bigger.
Mary had that for sure.
Yep, she sure did.
And you know,
I can't think, and this is not a negative for the lovely actresses who are working in television today, but I can't think of one of them as good as they are, as wonderful, who reached Mary's capacity for adoration of her audiences. And she just did. I know that from the hate mail I got, because I was mean to her. The people adored her. She was that daughter, that niece, that friend of the family, the young gal who was just out there beginning life. She prefigured so many young women like that at the time, young women just going into the work field. She just was standing up for them, and she did a heck of a job of it.
You know, Pat, when I think about you getting hate mail back then, when the mail started showing up, what did you think? Did you think, wow?
Well, number one, I got hysterical. I mean, did they think that I personally felt that way about Mary, that I was that mean bitch that I was playing? Oh, golly me. Either I was the greatest actress in the world and persuaded them that I was that. But I couldn't believe it. But laughter was my first reaction, and then I went, holy Mary, does that mean that Mary is adored so much by her audiences that they will brook, not even in the fantasy of play acting, that anybody would be mean to her?
You know,
That's marvelous. That is such a positive, lovely human reaction to someone else's treatment. We should all feel that way about things that happen in society today.
There are two quotes I want to read here, Pat. These are from Mary herself, from her book, her autobiography, After All. You can be brave if you've only had wonderful things happen to you. That's Mary Tyler Moore. And the other one is, take chances, make mistakes. That's how you grow. Pain nourishes your courage. You have to fail in order to practice being brave.
Absolutely. Oh, she's a wise lady. And she had failed in her lifetime, so she knew what she was talking about.
The castmates, Pat, you know, working in television and movies, that sometimes the cast is just the cast. It's working actors. They get together, and they do what they do.
Yeah, they get paid for.
And they get paid for.
That's how they make their living.
That's right. The Mary Tyler Moore cast, Ed Asner, Cloris Leachman, Betty White, the people who are Valerie Harper, this seems almost gut-wrenching for them. They were the family that I think they portrayed to be.
Well, I think television does that for casts because you work together so closely every day, and not only with the tensions of the work itself, but then you have the pressure of filming that work, which is another kind of pressure. So no wonder that people in casts for television, and it also holds true of films and the theater, got very close because you get very naked emotionally many times playing those characters, and you all share that as players. And I think that's why so many times you may not see an actor you've worked with for 20 years, but the minute you see them, it's like a member of the family. You're greeting a cousin. Because you've become very close, not because you've been together for such a long time, but the short period of time you're together, you share a lot.
Pat, this was an interesting quote that came out. I thought this was very interesting. Candace Bergen, who was Murphy Brown on television, released
a quote. Yes, she was, in a wonderful one.
Wonderful show. And her quote was, without Mary Tyler Moore's Mary Richards, there is no Murphy Brown.
Yep, she's right. Mary's show set up the feminine form for successful women in television. And I think she was the right person to have made it happen. Because the qualities she exuded, though personally totally hers, were also the best of female qualities.
The last time Mary Tyler Moore was in public was in 2012 at the 18th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards. She was presented the Lifetime Achievement Award by Dick Van Dyke. Betty White was in attendance that night. It's a 3-minute speech, but this is the last time Mary was on television. Pat, stick with us. Let's listen to Mary here, and then we'll come back and discuss what she had to say. Here we go. Mary Tyler Moore.
Thank you so much. In 1955, I was 18 years old, determined to make that I would indeed amount to something. So I sought out the Screen Actors Guild in hopes of becoming a member. But there was a small problem. It seems there were 6 other Mary Moores on the SAG pages. Word came back, want to work in the business? Change your name, sweetheart. Change my name? Oh, come on, no, I'm Mary Moore. Everybody is going to know my name. I can't change my name. I can't. Besides, what would my father say? I mean, it's his name, too. Oh, well, not Mary. Come on, no. Moore. George Tyler Moore. That was my father's name. But then it hit me. Tyler was my middle name, too. I was Mary Tyler Moore. I spoke it out loud. Mary Tyler Moore. Sounded right. So I wrote it out on the form, and it looked right. It was right. Zag was happy, my father was happy, and tonight, after having the privilege of working in this business among the most creative and talented people imaginable, I too am happy, after all. Thank you.
Pat, she put it perfectly.
Perfectly. And I didn't know that was the reason for her middle name. I learned something today.
You know, and it's interesting, at the end, she used the line from the theme song that Mary Tyler Moore, and that was her last speech in public, she was okay after all.
Isn't that wonderful and true?
And you know, one of the things, and I just want to bring this up because we talked about the closeness of that cast. Betty White, who of course has had a great run in television and doing very well at 95 years old, they asked Betty White for a comment on Mary's passing, and all her agent said was, "Betty is too upset to talk."
And that's true. And do you know, I watched Betty White since she first began in television in Los Angeles on a daytime show, and she was like the lady hostess and showing people around and entertaining guests. And I watched her. I'd never seen her before, and I thought, lady, you are going places. And she sure did.
And 95 years later, she's still doing them.
Still going strong and still being wonderful. But I remember being impressed by that lady doing daytime television, even then, and knowing she was going to be around a long time.
You know,
and she'll probably still be going on, but we're all gone.
you
God bless her.
Betty's something.
She is a sticker.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, it's interesting, and this is fascinating, because Mary Tyler Moore, we remember her for television. We remember her as an actress. But Mary had a rough life, but talked about it. Her son, her only child, accidentally shot and killed himself.
Yeah.
She was diagnosed after the Dick Van Dyke run with juvenile diabetes, which ultimately took her life.
Yeah.
She became a strong. She had a brain tumor at one point that almost took her life because of the diabetes. She had horrible eye trouble, which she talked about, and she went and testified in front of Congress. That's what she did the last 10 years of her life. For juvenile diabetes, and she
God bless her.
She should really be remembered for that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have diabetes, and when I was diagnosed, I thought I was going to die. But because medicine had come so far by the time I had it, I've been able to live the rest of my life with it. You know, and so for her to be active on its behalf, God bless her again.
Pat, we've only got a few minutes left here, and there's one thing I wanted to do. We did the serious moment where you and Mary made up in that episode, but because it was a comedy, there was a little tag at the end, and I don't want to leave the audience hanging. Here's the end of that 1971 Mary Tyler Moore episode with Pat Carroll and Mary Tyler Moore.
Okay, say, Mary, listen, before you leave, could you do me a favor? Could you tell me where you got that nightgown, you know, the go-go thing?
You're kidding. You really want to know?
Yeah.
Well, it was a present, but I'll find out and I'll call you.
Oh, that's great because, well, see, I decided to go back to my husband and I thought it might be great for a second honeymoon.
Oh, that's great. You're going back to Bert.
No, I'm going back to my husband. But did you think Bert was my husband?
Oh, No, I didn't think that. Did I say Bert? Oh, well, no, I certainly, I have to be going.
That's funny. It was fun working with the lady. She was a thoroughgoing professional.
And you know, Pat, to me, that's how I see Mary Tyler Moore, is that stammerer trying to get out.
Yes, yes. The getting in your foot in the mud and trying to get it out. She had some of her funniest moments doing that. And she was a good lady.
Oh, my goodness.
She gave us such entertainment for so long. God bless her.
And I do want to mention this really quick. She did two outstanding roles, and if anybody can find them, two of the last things she did in the 2000s, she did The Gin Game, which here is Mary Tyler Moore with vulgar language with Dick Van Dyke. It's fantastic, if you can find it.
Oh, is it? I did not see that.
Oh, they do the role, which, of course, as you know, is a very profane...
Oh, yes, indeed.
But they...
Oh, I'd love to see that.
They're tremendous. I bet you could get a copy of that. It's just the
Gin Game. I'm going to look. I know the source I'll use.
Absolutely. And the other thing she did was that horrible woman in New York who murdered the older lady, Sante Kynes, who murdered Irene Silverman in New York, when they did her movie. They did a movie on her. Jean Stapleton played Irene Silverman, the old woman, and Mary Tyler Moore played this schizophrenic, psychopathic...
Oh, wow! That must have been spectacular.
And here's Mary, and not a hint of Mary Richards or Laura Petrie, and that's
She was an actress.
Oh, tremendous. She was.
And we went to the same high school at different times, of course. But whenever I'd see her, I'd sing, "Raise on high your standard." We'd both sing. It was Immaculate Heart High School in Hollywood.
Pat, what is Mary Tyler Moore's place in television history?
Top drawer. I don't think there is a female, maybe Lucy, undoubtedly Lucy, who set standards the way Mary did. It was a different time. It was a later time, and she did it for the younger women.
And as
Lucy had done it for all women, starting at the age of 4 when she started. But I think Mary set the standards for young women coming after her in television.
And for the woman who went to the same school that you did, who you worked with in a great episode, how are you going to remember Mary the person?
Mary the person will always be to me an outstanding professional lady. And in a very tough field, this theatrical field is not all fun and games. It's a tough game. And I think Mary had maintained a certain quality of fineness about her. She had not been hardened by our very tough profession. And I say that as one of the finest compliments I can conjure.
She really did turn out okay after all.
She was a doggone good gal. And I think the legion of fans that surrounded Mary and continue to is just proof that she did okay.
Pat, we're going to miss this one. This is a,
indeed.
Yeah, we had a lot of seminal passings recently, but boy, Mary Tyler Moore is in a class all by herself.
Yes, she is, and she's the queen of that whole category, and certainly that time in television.
Absolutely, certainly. Rest well, Mary. And Pat, before I let you go here, we only have just a very few minutes left, but I couldn't let you out without talking about this. This Cinco de Mayo is a special day, I understand.
Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May, is my birthday. And it is my 90th.
Oh, Pat?
Mazel tov, old girl, mazel tov.
How can that be?
I can't believe I'm 90 years old, Scott, but I am so thrilled to still be here. There's still so much I'm enjoying.
If you could do anything for your 90th, what would you do?
For my 90th birthday, just be with my family.
And that's where you're headed in just a few short months.
Indeed it is, and I can't wait, and we're just going to hoop it up.
give us all hope, Pat. What is 90 like?
What is 90 like? It's marvelous because you're still here. And I said that more in truth than anything. But it is true. There's so many things I haven't done yet. There's so many people I haven't met. I haven't done enough for my family yet. You know, it seems like 90 is nothing. It's a snap of your finger.
You know, Pat, for somebody who I'm sure has everything they could ever need, what do you want for your birthday? How do you want it to take place? Because 90 is seminal.
90 is kind of different, yeah, and you may not see any more after that. But what would I want to do?
Yeah, if you could have anything or want anything.
All right, I have no second thoughts about this. The only thing I want to do is be with my family.
Is there any special kind of food you would want on the Cinco de Mayo?
Yes, Spanish food. I want to be down there on that wonderful street in L.A. and be eating my fill of every piece of Mexican food I can find. I adore Mexican food. I was brought up on it in El Paso. And so I have a great relish. I have a great history of it. To be with my family and be eating Spanish food will be the joy of my life.
And what kind of cake do you like?
Cake?
Yes. Do you like the birthday cake?
No, I'm not partial to birthday cake. It never tastes as good as you think it's going to.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't
that funny? I'd rather have pie.
What kind of pie would you have?
I know. Wait a minute. I've got to be tasting it. Key lime pie.
Oh, that is a good pie. So.
Oh, it's so wonderful. My eyes water when I think about it.
So, Pat, this coming Cinco de Mayo, your 90th birthday, you'll have your key lime pie, your Spanish food, your family. Where do you want to be celebrating this birthday at? If you could go anywhere, where would you go?
Alvera Street, Los Angeles, California.
And why is that?
Because that's where the food's going to be. And it's the truth. I've been going to Alvera Street since I was 5 years old in Los Angeles. And it's like home to me. The smells are the same smells that I knew when I was five. It's the place I always go when I'm in L.A.
Mm. Would you like to see, is there a play you would like to see? Something in your profession?
Yes, I would like to see a wonderful production of Henry V.
Hmm. And Pat, as you hit 90, is there something in your career you still want to do? All the people out there listening.
That I still want to do?
Yeah, with your career. Is there a role you want to play? Do you want to get back on the stage one more time?
Oh, yes. I tell you, I would like to do my one-woman show on Gertrude Stein one more time.
One more time. I've heard so much about this, Pat. I remember when you were touring the country with this.
And yes, I was.
And no kidding, not just because I have you on the line, the reviews for this were tremendous.
Oh, weren't they? Oh, my God. I was so thrilled and so happy and so grateful at those reviews. I had worked so hard on that play. I really had. I'd knocked my brains out. Because I wanted it so badly to be successful, and thank you, God, it was.
Absolutely.
And it was just a fulfillment of an ambition I'd had since I first began acting, to do a one-woman show successfully. And thank you, God, he gave me that gift, and I worked my ass off on it. But I think most of the gifts God give us, we have to work at anyway.
Because it was a one-woman show, it was just you. Is there a line from that show that had tremendous resonance for you?
Do you know, my brain is so silly these days, I couldn't quote you one line from that play or any play I've ever done. My mind has just gone. I don't know I can ever do a play again, Scott, because my mind simply is not retaining things, and that's okay. That doesn't make me unhappy. It doesn't make me go, I have been so fortunate in my life theatrical in my lifetime that I have no complaints about anything. And if I can't do it anymore, I can't do it anymore. It will make me sad a little bit, but I keep thinking, weren't you lucky to be able to do it?
You know, Pat, there is always, in this world today, there are always other ways to get around it. You know, that Gertrude Stein play, that would be tremendous if that could happen one more time. Will you ever write the book about your career?
I've already started work on it. And it's called, oh, golly, what is it called now? It's either an ass or an elbow. Is that a wonderful title? And you know what it is? It's a quote from my grandmother.
Really? Now, what what in context did she say that? How did that come about?
What? That title?
Yeah, that title.
Well, because I had always heard my grandmother say it. And I had always said if I ever write my autobiography, it's going to have that title, because I think that covers everything.
I love it. Pat, one final question, and I know it'll be your 90th birthday, but I'm gonna ask one favor of you. When you turn 90, will you come back on with us?
On when?
When you turn 90, will you come back and let us celebrate your birthday on the air with you?
Absolutely, if you promise me to call me the day before and remind me.
I will do that. Pat Carroll, as I said...
That's a promise to you, Scott.
We're going to keep that one down. We have the tape now, Pat. We're going to keep it...
You got me. You have proof.
I have proof. So wherever you're eating that key lime pie, we're going to find you that day.
I wish I could share it with you.
Oh, my goodness. Pat, as I've said many times, it is my thrill and honor when you come on this show. You are an American treasure, and I absolutely adore you.
And I adore you back because you're so adorable. And I thank you so much, and I'll talk to you on my birthday.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, Scott. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Mary Tyler Moore, remembered by the legendary Pat Carroll. This is Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout. Don't forget tomorrow, Ted Williams. 10 years.
10 years. And
is that good enough? Do I pass?
Oh, yeah. And you enjoy it, right?
Well, till today, yeah.